Welcome. This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us on this dark and dreary Tuesday in St. Louis. But it's never dark and dreary when you have good friends to bring you coffee. I will tell you, Pastor Kevin Parviz always showed like one of the wise men, bearing gifts.
Yeah, like your baby Jesus.
I was not making any such illusion. Yeah, but your gift of coffee every time you come in is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pastor Kevin Parviz from Congregation Kyvie Shalom in the Dogtown neighborhood of the city of St. Louis. If you can find the St. Louis Zoo, look a little bit south, other side of Highway 40, and, well, you'll get there.
You can find the Lutheran Zoo.
That's right. I noticed something. I drove by. I don't take Hampton at 44 very often just because it tends to be congested, but had to travel through there the other day. They are knocking down that old hospital. What was that, the old Deaconess Hospital
there at the corner? Yeah, that's going to be the new visitor center for the zoo down the street.
That should be great for you. Lots more people coming into that area.
Yeah, we're trying to get our coffee house open, but
really?
still finding the roadblocks on that.
Really? What are you going to serve as far as coffee?
We're probably going to use Caldy's coffee.
Really? No custom roast?
I'm not going to do my own roasting. No.
Well, maybe there's someone out there listening right now who'd like to help that part of your ministry along.
Sure.
And get you set up with that. What do you think?
That would be great.
Yeah. So what's going on at Kyvie Shalom? Look at this. I actually brought it in with me this morning. I have this funny squiggly stuff on the top
color
here.
Copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we spare no expense here at KFUO.
I'm telling you.
pronounce that for me?
Hineni.
Hineni, which is your newsletter. Folks can sign up for that at your website, right?
Right.
And, I see there is news in here that perhaps there may be a baptism coming up soon at Congregation Kyvie Shalom.
My little granddaughter was just born last week.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. She came over to the house Sunday night for the first time and promptly did everything that babies should do.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That you want them to do all those things. Do we have a name yet?
Her name is Aubrey Nicole.
Aubrey Nicole.
Yeah, and she was born October 5th.
So congratulations, Mom and Dad and Grandpa. Yeah. You know, I'm glad you didn't wear a button shirt because you'd be popping them right now.
That's right.
It's just swelling with praise. Which grandchild is this? What number?
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Well,
little girls.
Still plenty of room to spoil.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Well, I remember the first granddaughter. We would often meet at Starbucks there at Lansdowne and
she grew
Watson
up with a coffee cup in her hand.
That's right. She did. Yeah. So how is everything else going for you?
Going well. Things are quieting down. We finished our Oktoberfest. We are looking forward to Advent, and Hanukkah is early this year, so that's kind of weird. But, things are going well.
Something I read somewhere that there is it Hanukkah? Something falls on Thanksgiving this
Hanukkah
year.
Hanukkah begins the evening of Thanksgiving.
And it's not going to happen for another 3,000 years,
as
Eric
like
read.
Yeah.
Does that make it anything special?
No.
Or is that just happy coincidence?
It's just unhappy coincidence.
Unhappy coincidence.
It's too early this year. We have to have our Hanukkah party kind of outside of Hanukkah probably this year because of Thanksgiving.
You get to knock down two holidays
it
at one time.
Fun. Yeah, it is.
You know, Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. That way you get all the family out of the way up front.
That's right. That's right.
Then you get some peace and some quiet. So you can concentrate on Advent.
Yeah, right. That is not a season that you typically equate with peace and quiet.
Well, forgive my rudeness, but I mentioned that you can get the newsletter from Congregation Kyvie Shalom by signing up at the website, but I didn't ask you to give the website address.
It's easy for you to remember. It's www.lifeandpeacecongregation.com.
Is that what Kyvie Shalom means?
That's what it means.
You're teaching me Hebrew without even a little backdoor Hebrew lesson. Well, look what you get to do today, verses 14 to 18 in Romans chapter 9.
You managed to pick the four verses that have nothing much to do with Jewish missions out of 9, 10, and 11. I don't know how you do that.
It mentions Pharaoh,
and
you know, Paul's referring heavily to Exodus. So there is an Old Testament connection.
These are very important chapters for our ministry, obviously. I mean, the whole theme of Romans is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, and this 9, 10, and 11 really fleshes all that out very well.
Well, we've been going through this a little bit slowly here, and I may go a couple of places today that you may not expect.
I expect that.
Because you expect the unexpected. Always expect the unexpected. Right. Nobody expects.
The truth is out there.
The Spanish Inquisition. Well, let's start with prayer, and let's have some fun this morning then.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day, and we ask your blessing upon all who are listening and all who today, this day, are reading your word, that by your Holy Spirit, that you would just anoint them for understanding, that your people would grow to be the people that you've called them to be. Bless us and bless this ministry of KFUO. Thank you for the rain. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. You can reach us this morning, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Email works just as well, KFUO at KFUO.org. Well, let's begin at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. And that is the text for today. Simple question to start out with, is God fair?
No. I mean, it's a simple answer. I mean, no. You know, you promoted this show at the very beginning with the messenger of good news, and then you proclaimed it's going to rain all day.
Yeah.
I'm planning on playing golf this afternoon when I get done here. That's not going to happen.
Well, a little rain never stopped anybody that really wanted to golf.
That's not fair.
Well, that's true.
I mean, God doesn't give us our own way, and often we equate that with that's not fair because we want our cake and eat it too. I mean, God gives us even better than our own way, but unfortunately in our sinful human nature, we don't always see that. Although I have to say that this last line in 18 really, I mean, checks me because, of course, he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and that's what brought the plagues on Egypt. But, you know, we understand why that happened, for the deliverance of a people and for God to show his power not only over Israel, but over Egypt and over Pharaoh, the local god. But then the hard thing here, and you're going to get to it later, is that he hardens the Jewish heart in part for a time until the fullness of Gentiles comes in. That's not fair.
Well, it got through to you.
Yeah, it did. I was pretty hard-hearted too.
Well, you've talked about that before on different programs here.
But he does this to show us his grace and mercy, which, I mean, frankly is, if God was fair, we would get what we deserve, and we don't. I mean, if I am a despicable person, and I don't deserve the lovely family and the beautiful little granddaughter and the great ministry that God has called me.
Oh, you're just being humble now.
No, it's true. I mean, that's the reality. None of us deserve God's grace and God's mercy. He pours that out on us out of his goodness, not ours. That's what the point is here that Paul is trying to make.
If we don't deserve it, why do we get it?
Because God is not fair. I mean, that's God desires. I mean, he. If you get what you deserve, look out. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality. This world will give you what you deserve. Let's face it.
Now, I've gotten it more than once. Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have been golfing today. So the world. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you want what you deserve, then you are a sadist and a masochist because. You deserve nothing good, and yet God pours out his goodness upon you.
Yesterday's text, and by the way, today during the program, you know what I'm using here? I have my official Congregation Kaveh Shalom pen,
nice to know it's still working.
Stylus, and flashlight, three tools, and look, see, it still works.
It still works.
Look at that. Sign up for that newsletter. Maybe you too might get one of these. Yesterday, it talked about Esau. And Jacob,
yeah.
And Esau and Jacob, before they did anything in the womb, God made a choice.
Which wasn't fair.
It wasn't fair.
No.
Especially if you're Esau.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in some ways I always struggle with that because we as Jews always lift up our patriarchy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as these great paragons of virtue. And yet you look at every one of them, and every one of them was just like me, a despicable human being. So,
well, yeah, I mean, what does Jacob mean? That's a great name for a kid.
Yeah, yeah. So you have
the deceiver, the trickster, whatever it was, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and you have, you just have him conspiring with his mother and all the great intrigue. I never understand why people find the Bible boring. There's just so much intrigue.
When we went through Genesis, yeah, that's a. Lots of interesting stories in there. But the fairness, where do we get the idea that God should be fair?
You know, I just think that in a sense, I wonder if that, and I have no other context to compare this to, but in a sense, it seems like we have this kind of American sense of liberty and fairness, and we get what we deserve because we work hard and we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we make our own, you know, way in this world. And
I think, we are the Marlboro Man.
Yeah, and I don't really know if that's a particularly or uniquely American perspective or not. As I say, I have no other context to compare that to, but I just think that's a quote, a country that considers themselves to be the city on the hill and the receiver of God's grace. We don't really want it. We want to make our own
grace and claim it as God.
Exactly.
This is going to be a little awkward. And, you know, feel free. If you want cards and letters, send me an email. If you wonder why I ask questions like this, because when you study some of these things, you start to question where your first citizenship lies.
Yeah.
You know, in the left or the right-hand kingdom. Based on what you said, you know, talking about this liberty and justice for all stuff that we're so fond of, is God un-American?
Well, I mean, God is he's not attached to any political or geographic region. He is the God of the heavens and the earth and all things. But, you know, in a sense, our Constitution was founded upon, quote, godly principles. And we know all that.
No doubt about
that. We know all that rhetoric and all the things that, you know, and the godly principles are those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, yeah, I mean, certainly God is the giver of life. God perhaps desires us to have liberty. Depending upon what that means, and the pursuit of happiness, does that mean God wants us to be a hedonistic society and all we want to do is, get what makes us happy? And I don't think God.
Well, if
wants,
he wants my worship, Mister, he'll let me do whatever
I
want to do.
So you know, I think we have to understand those things in the right context, and the only way you can understand them is through the lens of Jesus and through the lens of the Scriptures.
Well, I asked that question because you tag your emails with a quote from John Adams.
Yeah, about a moral society and the Constitution can only be in context of a moral society.
To draw a comparison, and I think this is where we could maybe learn a lesson or two, do you see the United States, in the sense that you're describing, acting much like Israel did, seeing itself as sort of this righteous chosen nation in
absolutely.
The world?
Absolutely. And look what happened to them.
Got
carried off
them,
into
yeah.
Babylon, you know. And that is the case. I mean, the whole business of Israel and, you know, and let's face it, we elected this in our last election. We got sold a bill of goods that this guy was going to be our Messiah, basically our Savior. And
some said that.
Yeah, we didn't want God as a king. We want him as a king, essentially. And, you know, we played with Richard Nixon in my day as being, you know, King Richard and all of those kinds of things. But we do. We always want to put, and that's, I think, what the Israelites were doing, is they wanted to put their faith and trust not in God, who was their king, but they wanted a king like all the other nations had, a human king that they could put their faith and trust in. And we do the same thing. I mean, most people call the American presidency our form of the monarchy. And let's face it, if we have any sense of kind of royal families, it's always the first family and those kinds of things. And they have, it's the same stupid reaction we have. Rather than putting our trust in God our Father and the King of all the heavens and the earth, we really want to put our trust and faith in human kings.
And in the American context, I mean, we are enculturated into this idea of rights. Everything is a right now.
Yeah, you have a right to everything.
You know, I have a right to do this. I was born this way. I have a right to act out however I feel. Have you noticed that we presume that we have rights in God's kingdom as well?
I think we do. You know, the whole concept of, you know, God would not send good people to hell.
Yeah.
That's a right. If I'm good, I have a right to go to heaven.
I have a right to go to heaven, yeah.
And, you know, that is absolutely false. And you know, I think we do have certain rights as children of the king. I mean, certainly the Scriptures teach that. We are inheritors of God's riches. But you know what? That doesn't give us a right. I'm always death on this prosperity gospel that, you know, loves to teach that, you know, you have a right as a Christian that you should have prosperity and wealth and good health. And if you don't, your faith is somehow is not right. There's nothing about that. Life is hard, and the Scriptures teach us clearly, Paul, we're in the pericopes right now. We're going through 2 Timothy, where Paul's last letter, while, you know, he's getting ready to be executed, and, you know, he's in prison, and, you know, of all people, if anybody has rights to a good life, it should be Paul. But that's not what the world promises us, and that's not what God promises us. And so some would cry, like your Facebook post, that's not fair.
That's not fair. Well, we seem to be obsessed with fairness.
Yeah.
You know, what? You know, it used to be.
And as kids, what's the thing that you hear all the time?
Well, that's not fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was a commercial that I saw that was sort of interesting, where I think the commercial posed an interesting way to solve some of this fairness problems. Where there's enough bread and peanut butter left for one peanut butter sandwich. And one child gets to cut the sandwich. The other child gets to choose which side they get.
That's a good German thing. That's how they handed Saxony. That's how they broke up all those.
Yeah, that's true. But we always seem to be seeking after fairness. It's the first thing for which we should seek after fairness.
Well, of course not. The first thing that we should seek after is God and God's righteousness through Christ. And through that, you know, that's the one thing I've been preaching, and, you know, maybe I'm in a beat 'em up with the law period in my life right now. My son, we had a guest preacher, my good friend Alice, who is a good preacher, and he subs for me when I'm out of town. And my son Ben, who's a theology teacher at one of the high schools here in the area, he says, you know, he's a better preacher than you. He preaches the law. When he preaches, I feel guilty. and so I'm really trying to hit him with the law, especially Ben, you know. Yeah. but the reality is that the law, the law that we experience, I don't think we feel that hard, because, you know, we do live in this kind of what I want, I get thing. And so we overlook the reality that we can't always get what we want. The Rolling Stones were right.
Yeah. Did you see the story that came out of Louisiana?
No.
You want to talk about the sinful nature of man. Down in Louisiana, their version of welfare, it all comes on a little credit card thing now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they refer to theirs as the Louisiana Purchase Card.
Jeez.
Okay. And the system went down, and nobody could buy anything. And Walmart decided, you know, they called the home office, according to the story, and they said, go ahead, accept the cards, you know, and then when the system straightens out, we'll reconcile everything. So when the word got out that there were these couple of Walmart stores in this part of Louisiana honoring these EBT cards, people just flocked there. And there were people that were taking, you know, you might get $100, $150, whatever, you know, as a food allotment for this. They were filling shopping carts.
Yeah.
They were running, and
taking advantage of the system.
They knew what the allotment was, and, you know, walking out with $700-$800 worth of stuff out the door. And then as the systems came back up again, all the people who were in line realized they might get caught, and they just abandoned all the shopping carts and fled
so
the
Walmart,
building.
Who tried to do something good for people and for their business as well, let's be honest.
But you see, we deserve it. The system goes down. We deserve it. Yeah, it's our right. You know, that applies to, have you ever been pulled over for a speeding ticket?
Absolutely. It's not fair.
Have you ever said to the officer, look at that guy going by?
Yeah.
He's going faster than me.
I actually try not to do that, but I certainly think that.
Well, you'll do that
what
once in your life.
What are you doing out here wasting time on me when there's people who are far worse than I am?
Yeah. That's just not fair.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just not fair. Why'd you pick me? Well, it's not fair on the other side of the coin, too, because... you know, if you sit around with a bunch, I'm talking about me, if you get together, friendly poker game, you're sitting around with a bunch of buddies, and you happen to be on a winning streak that night, I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, I don't either. I
want to win, but I don't feel good about it.
Right. I always want everybody to feel good, and I'm a terrible poker player because of that. I won't bet. You know, if I'm winning, I'll start patting my hand down. It's stupid. I'm not telling my friends that.
We have to get a game together. I could use a couple of bucks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it's just the whole idea of fairness, fair, fair, fair. And we base our entire legal system, how we conduct our culture, on fairness.
Well,
that's why every kid gets a medal in the race now.
That's silly. Although, you know, I do think from a purely left-handed kingdom human perspective, it's good to give people at least a fair playing field. You know, how would you like playing a game of football with no rules? I mean, that's
that. Did you watch the NFL last Sunday?
Well, yeah, right. The Rams won. There must have been no
there
rules.
No rules. Yeah. Yeah.
No rules, just right. Yeah. At the Outback. But yeah, so there, and I think that's what, and I think that's the complaint that, you know, for example, if you look all through the scriptures, the fact that Jesus was there for the Gentiles and the sinners is what the Pharisees complained about because it wasn't fair.
Fair, right.
We're the righteous ones. And, you know, Paul's talking about this whole concept of God brought this grace into the world through Christ, not just for the Jews, but for all nations. And of course, that promise goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. So we want what we want. We kind of have this skewed not vision, you know, idea of what fair is, but when it goes against us, it's just not fair. And I think that's the issue with God.
Well, here's what I'm building to, Pastor Parviz. Does any man at any time in any place have the right to accuse God of being unfair?
Let's
say unjust.
Not the right, but certainly the platform to.
So it's every private's right to complain.
I mean, here's the deal. I mean, God says in your anger, do not sin. You know, it's okay to be angry. You know, it is that which, you know, I think if you look at the Psalms, David very often is kind of pouring out his heart to God and complaining and kvetching and all this kind of stuff. You can almost see it's not fair written between the lines sometimes. And yet he always comes back to, but God, you are God, and I trust you. And I think when we walk through that angst, that human angst of it's just not fair, I'm getting screwed, it's just, I don't like this, and pouring it out to God and being angry at God, and God's spirit ministers to you in that, and you can always come back to, but you know, Lord, it's not me, it's you. I trust you. And that's, I think, it's a good way to handle this kind of, you know, sometimes when it's not fair, we work harder to make it fair. And by doing so, we either step on the little guy or, you know, we get stepped on. And, you know, and then we just get more angry and more bitter, and we end up in this spiral that you see people walking the streets with every day. It's good to throw, it's good to,
what, really?
to pour out yourself on
How'd that
God.
Work out for Adam?
How? He poured himself out on God.
Yeah, but he complained that God wasn't fair.
Oh, I mean, but he didn't.
You gave her to me. I was sitting there with the dog. I was fine.
That was
and
Duck
you
and his
gave
responsibility,
her to me.
But, I mean, Adam got cursed and Adam got blessed. And Adam finds himself in the Hall of Heroes in Hebrews. You know, I think that God expects us to lay it on the line with him, and he'll instruct us by his spirit.
To help us work through the second half of the program, as we've got about a little bit less than 2 minutes here, Pastor Parviz, set up the Lutheran understanding. What is the doctrine of election for a Lutheran?
I have no idea.
You don't? Is there such a thing?
Sure. I mean, the elect are those whom God has... This is a really hard thing because, you know, it's not fair.
I mean, you know, you see why I'm going the way
it
I'm
is.
Going.
Yeah, I mean, the elect are those whom God has poured his grace out upon and who have received it. And they're predestined to election. God knows who the elect are. That leads to all kinds of problems humanly as well as logically. And you see all kinds of heresies in the church grow out of this doctrine of election.
The crux theologorum.
Oh, yeah. And this is not something that we have anything to do with. It's something that God pours out on us, and we just receive it gratefully. It's not fair.
We demand more.
Yeah.
We aren't satisfied with our portion.
I mean, yeah,
because it ain't fair.
We have to, you know, the whole question with the doctrine of election is, I always tell people, I pray you will see people you will never expect in heaven.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I was younger, I would always tell those kinds of people, I'll save you a seat by the fire. So,
gracious.
I mean, that was how bitter you can get because of this. And yet it's not about your works. It's not about your deeds. It's about God electing you to salvation. And boy, there's nothing you can do about that.
Well, we'll pick up on the other side of the break with more of this study of Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 18. Just what is and isn't fair. And did Jesus get a fair deal? We'll have to talk about that as we go through the next part. Join us, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We should hear from the big office down the hall anytime now about who's listening. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
In 2017, Christianity will celebrate the 500th year of the Lutheran Reformation. In anticipation of this worldwide event, Worldwide KFUO is proud to present New York Metropolitan Opera star Janet Hopkins in a musical drama as told from the mind of Katharina von Bora Luther. This modern opera is performed in English. The music is melodic and fresh. Composer Dr. Glenn Winters has masterfully woven Lutheran hymnody into the score, which makes for an exciting work of art that faithfully represents Katie Luther and the Reformation. This must-see performance will be Friday, October 25th, 7 p.m. at Concordia Seminary in Clayton. For tickets, go to www.itickets.com and search for Katie Luther, or by phone at 800-965-9324. That's 800-965-9324.
Why might a Lutheran grade school be a good choice for your family? Hi, I'm Andy Bates. On the next Faith and Family, we'll continue our discussion on choices in education. On Tuesday, we'll discuss Lutheran grade schools with Gary Spieler, principal of Green Park Lutheran School in St. Louis, Missouri. Join us Tuesday at 11 for the next Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Welcome back. This is the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Kevin Parviz is here. You know him from Congregation Kyvie Shalom in the Dogtown neighborhood of St. Louis. If you're not in St. Louis, you're streaming us, maybe you're in some other part of the world, and you say, goodness gracious, Dogtown, that's a horrible name for a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely historic.
It goes back to the 1904 World's Fair. Yeah. It's an interesting story. Look up Dogtown 1904 World's Fair, St. Louis, and see what story comes back. You might be shocked as to why we still call it.
It's a great neighborhood, though.
It is a great neighborhood. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of great little businesses up there, little kitschy places. Coming back from the highway being shut down, which hit you guys kind of hard.
Back, it did.
And now with the zoo expanding across Highway 40, the great St. Louis Zoo, free zoo still.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You know, if you can find a parking spot on the street, it's free.
Now you can park right in front of our building, walk over and get the shuttle and go right
to that'd be great. Like I said, this is going to work out great for Congregation Kyvie Shalom. We're in Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 18. If you joined us a little bit late, we also once again want to congratulate Pastor Parviz on becoming a grandpa.
Yeah, thank you.
One more time, a little grandbaby, a little granddaughter.
And by all means, call in, because I'm getting tired of his questions.
Well, at least you're an honest guest. I'll give you that much. The rest of them just sort of humor me politely.
Well, you can always count on me not to do that.
And that's just not fair.
That's right.
Well, I want to get into this. I have questions about this, and I know that sometimes, would you expect one of your, maybe in your congregation, I don't know, but would you expect in the average congregation someone to walk up to their pastor and go, is God un-American?
Oh, well.
See, I asked the question of the common man that he's maybe too...
I think you do.
Yeah. Embarrassed to ask. But people think about these things. And I like to poke at what we have as sort of our commonly held ideas about who God is.
And in some sense, though, I think, and we haven't gone there yet, but I think we probably should, is Job. That's the epitome of unfairness. I mean, Job did nothing except be upright and righteous before God to get all the...
How'd that work out for him?
Yeah, exactly. And then, but again, that's the thing. He poured out his heart upon God. He complained. And what did he get? Where were you
He had a loving and supporting wife, didn't he? Isn't that the best part of the story?
Curse God and die.
But he was ultimately restored, wasn't he?
And we are too. I mean, that's the key. You asked before the break, did Jesus get a fair shot?
Yeah.
Of course not, because it was for our sake that he took all the unfairness of the world upon him, and all the anger of the world upon him, and all the hatred of the world upon him, that we could be restored.
Yeah. See, that's why people shake their head at Lutherans like us. because you go, God is unfair. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if he was fair, imagine what I would have gotten out of the deal.
Yeah, I know. I'd be the one on that cross.
No, I don't know that I even would have made it this far.
Yeah.
He would have. Well, he could have just incinerated everything and started over again.
Right, and let's put it, if I was God, I'd have lost patience with this world a long time ago. Be grateful I'm not God.
I think Abraham's first trip to Egypt would have done it for me. This is so, not good. He's passing his wife off as a sister.
He may not be fair, but he is patient. Yeah. So.
Why does Exodus weigh so heavily for Paul in this segment of Romans? And is he just sort of waxing, these are just theological musings? Because the accusation is that he's trying to create a religion here in writing these things down. And he's tying it back to the Old Testament. So this isn't something that Paul is being creative about as he goes along.
Yeah, of course, the challenge for Paul right here is he's writing to a largely Gentile church, and he's talking about the Jewish people, how his heart would break, and he would rather be cursed for the sake of his brethren and all that kind of thing. But then he talks about how not all children of Abraham are children of Abraham.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
You know. Right, and so he's making the distinction. So now while the Jews, if you can imagine this as a radio show instead of a letter, the Jews are listening to the radio show, they're going, yeah, give it to him, Paul, and then, wait a minute, what's that about the Gentiles and faith, and it's not fair. It's about our ethnicity. It's about, we as a people. And, he's saying this, it's children of faith, and that's the children of God. That's the people that are called Israel. And, he's hearkening back to Exodus because, of course, not all those who were taken out of bondage were Jewish. I mean, there were foreigners who sojourned among them.
There were some Egyptians
them.
That left in the Exodus. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Jewish people in the Exodus that died in the wilderness. In fact, almost all. From old age because they just couldn't get what it is to be in relationship with God. Many from sin, the golden calf, and they complained and peed and moaned the entire time they were in the wilderness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, would you want to eat manna every day? Honestly. Wouldn't you like a cheeseburger once in a while?
Cheeseburgers are unkosher. And to be
fair, you have to separate the milk and the meat. That's right.
He had...
See, I know some stuff.
They had quail in the evening, and that's not bad.
You know what's unfair? Aiken.
Yeah.
Punish the man. He stole the stuff. Why have the entire family put to death?
Yeah. I mean, and what's unfair about sending the Israelites into the promised land and killing everything, including the animals? The point is that I think the point in all relationships, I mean, how many times did you as a parent talk to your little girls and say, I decide what's fair and what's not, and to their, from their perspective, you were being the meanest father in the world, and yet you were doing it for their good. You knew the bigger picture,
it's fun to be mean.
Is that what it is?
I'm
sure that God is up in heaven saying, oh, it's good to be the king. It's fun to be mean. Yeah.
Well, but isn't that how we picture him? That's another one of these commonly. He's this sort of angry old man.
Yeah,
If you get on his lawn, you know what happens.
That's right.
Then bad things follow.
Was that movie with Clint Eastwood with the Grand Prix?
Oh yeah, Gran Torino. That is an excellent film.
Yeah.
A lot of Christian imagery in that film as well.
Sure is.
Well, you see, I'm resisting going to the phones because you taunted me so.
Deal?
I guess we should do that. It's only fair that if people call in that they, get a chance to talk to Pastor Kevin Parviz. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I am okay.
Good.
And you're the perfect pastor to bring this up to you were talking about our election and our being chosen. And in Galatians chapter 3, this is the verse which helps me understand, if we can. Galatians chapter 3:16, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. you know, the promises were made to Christ.
Yeah.
He is the chosen one, as Paul brings out to his first, you know, his letter to the Ephesians in the first chapter. That whole chapter is in him, in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The only way we can be holy and without blame is covered by his blood and chosen in the beloved. And, you know, that before the throne my surety stands, because Jesus is chosen. I know he is the chosen one. The Old Testament people are chosen in him. The New Testament church is chosen in him. And as we are covered by his blood, which surely we are in his church, we are chosen. And we don't have to worry if I'm chosen or not.
Yeah.
Do you think that...
Can you imagine living as my Jewish friends and neighbors and relatives do, never really knowing if God has accepted them for the sacrifices that they have made?
Oh.
Never knowing, you know, it's I love the assurance that
yes,
it's not about me, it's about Jesus, and I am assured because of him, not because of anything I have to do or haven't done.
He has covered us in his holy blood, and yes, this God is fair to us, but he wasn't, you know, I guess it doesn't seem fair to Jesus, you know, for us, for him to take our sin upon himself and take our identity and put his identity on us.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then we are one in him, and he is with us in fellowship, and he helps us understand by his presence with us. None of this makes sense to our carnal mind, but by his Holy Spirit, it makes sense. So,
and I'm just so grateful that the Holy Spirit has given us that assurance that we trust God because of Jesus, not
praise
because of
Lord.
Us. Yeah, amen. I can remember in my angst, you know, crying out to God, it's not fair. And then, of course, over time, if it's not fair, you just lose your faith in God. And,
you know, we can thank God for our brokenness, too, because I was telling my niece, well, I've been broken myself. I have a son in heaven. Mm-hmm. I could be very broken.
Sure.
But I am more whole than a lot of people. You know, my niece, she's in the nursing home, very young woman, beautiful woman with, you know, one leg now and can't use her hands. But she's still, I said, you are more whole than a lot of people who have everything. They can use their hands, they can walk around, but yet they're miserable because they're not whole and healed in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
And that,
and
yet,
and their attitude reflects that.
Yes,
yeah,
her attitude.
Yeah.
She's going to lead a Bible study.
And her attitude reflects her wholeness. Yeah.
Yes. God
and
bless
yours
you.
Does too, Linda.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Good to hear from you this morning. You know, you mentioned Jewish friends and relatives. One thing, I don't want to wax too polemical here, but I got to bring this in because whenever you talk about God choosing and, you know, the doctrine of election and that sort, Calvin always is poking his head in going, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's the problem I was alluding to before the break, is this whole, you know, double predestination. If God predestined some to election, then he must predestine some to hell.
Yeah.
Well, that's outside of God's character, and I don't think we can go there. But it makes sense from a human rational perspective. But, you know, the challenge is that God is always in the business of canceling reservations in hell.
You know, I've always wondered, why would anyone want to be a Calvinist? Now, I, no offense to our Calvinist friends out there, but I just have to ask the question and throw it out to you. How do you go through life believing that God chooses some for salvation, some for damnation, and never being sure necessarily where you fall?
But you are, I know.
Because you can put up the best front. You could be the best Christian, go to church every Sunday, help the poor, do all your obligations and debts.
Yeah, that assurance is just...
And so then
important.
You're still on your deathbed, you know, wondering.
Yeah, that would be so hard.
Mm.
And, but, you know, and that's the challenge, of course, of going outside of the scriptures and using human reasoning to try to reconcile the cognitive dissonance that we're experiencing. Just trust God. Trust the Word. And
do you think because of the heavy Calvinist influence in the United States that Maybe that's where a lot of this idea about fair and unfair about God comes from.
Certainly. That's that is the I mean, that's the cradle in which our country's sort of morality was born in.
Yeah. Because, you know, that seems to me to set up a God who refuses to grant mercy to those who beg for it. And what kind of a God is that?
Exactly. And that's not fair.
Not fair at all. 821-0850-1-800-730-2727. You can get in that way. If you can't get in by way of the phone because our board is getting full, try the email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Back to the phones we go. Who is next? Let's try Jan. Jan down in Atlanta. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm good. You okay, Roland?
I am okay.
All right, then. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Jan. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I think we need to draw a distinction between fairness and righteousness. And I'm thinking about, you know, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel 14:14 mentions Daniel, Job, and Noah as the ones who, by their own lives, could deliver themselves for righteousness, but no one else. And conspicuously absent is Abraham. You know, it wasn't fair that God chose him.
Sure wasn't fair to Sarah to have a kid when she was that old.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a postpartum depression?
Yeah, right.
And then too,
I think the distinction that I'm hearing what you're saying is between righteousness and fairness.
Yes.
Is fairness is a distinction that we make, and righteousness is a distinction that God makes.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking of when God commissioned us to go and make disciples. We like the baptizing part, but teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you is also part of our mandate. And, you know, we, like you said earlier, how people take this magisterial approach to Scripture. I don't understand what it means, so therefore it must mean this. And, you know, I love what Linda said earlier. I just would add, you know, in Galatians it says, now that you know God, or rather are known by God, you know, it's objectively true that
Exactly.
lived and died and rose and has gone to prepare a place and is advocating for us, but
he did that for you.
Yeah. So, what do you think?
I think that's the perspective that we always fall back on is, just getting outside of ourselves and getting outside of our flesh and our wants and our desires. You know, I think that the hardest part of the Great Commission isn't the baptizing. You said we like the baptizing. Some people even like the teaching. What we don't like is the going.
I'm busy.
That go is what's hard, because when you follow that go, you have to go to people who are nothing like you and who you have nothing in common with. Sometimes
it gets in the way of golf, doesn't it?
Now, come on, Roland, get off my case.
Well, you started that.
Thank you,
It's
Jan.
Only fair. Yeah. You brought it up.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
All right. How about we go to a friend here on the phone? Pastor Nabil Noor is on the line. Good morning, Pastor.
Blessed morning to you. Boker tov lecha, achi.
Hello, Nabil.
Hello?
Oh, we are here. I thought we were talking to Tel Aviv for a moment. What's going on?
Saw you in your kefia the other day in the pictures.
Boker tov. You don't get it, do you?
He's drinking coffee right now and thinking about golf.
You guys are nuts, both of you. Blessed morning in the name of Yeshua Mashiach to both of you.
You also, my brother.
I have a comment that brought tears to my eyes. I was listening to you, St. Kevin, you know, you talked about the election teaching that occurs among the Calvinists, and of course we don't want to just specifically pick out on them because of their teaching, but it is such a detriment to the soul. Let me give you a personal experience that I went through that when you guys spoke about it, tears began to roll down my cheeks. My wife's family are Dutch, so of course Calvin is a big thing for them. And her family, all of them were raised in a Dutch reform. And her grandfather, on her paternal grandfather, was a man who was stern, and he lived by the law. Mm. By the grace of God, my father-in-law, whose name is Ed and now is sainted, left that church and became a Missouri synod. His brother, whose nickname was Doc, and this is where the story comes in, and I became very good friends. Not that I wasn't friends with my father-in-law, but I was a good friend with her uncle. And I would visit him quite often. I had my own company, so I would have coffee with him and stuff. And every morning that we lived right next, we were right next door, every morning he would have breakfast and read the scriptures. On this specific day, he read the scripture, and all of a sudden he starts crying. He just bawled. And he handed the Bible to me, and he says, finish the reading. He would read a chapter every single day. And I said, Uncle Doc, what is wrong? Why are you crying? He says, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I've never forgotten those words.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. And then I said, but Uncle Doc, you believe that Jesus suffered and died and rose for you, don't you? Yes, I do. And then this was his response. But I don't know if I am part of the chosen ones.
Yeah.
And it just broke my heart.
Yeah, and unfortunately we hear that way too often.
Yes, we do.
And
you know, we can go on two extremes. You know, on the one extreme with, well, you know, I'm not chosen, therefore I don't know if I am or not, therefore I'm going to live my life as I want to and do what is right. If I'm chosen, I'm going to go to heaven regardless, and if I'm not, I'm going to go to hell regardless.
All right.
So you live your life without any consequences. On the other hand, you fall into legalism, which is, I need to do this to earn God's favor. Yeah. And both of these sides are long. You know,
and there's no assurance on either end.
On either end,
yeah.
You can't do enough. You know, you talk about the Muslims. You ask, "Well, you're going to go to heaven, inshallah, if God wills."
God wills.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's not if God wills. God wills. Read 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
For God desires all men to be saved. That's why He sent His one and only Son, so that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
Gentlemen, while I have you both, let's just really put a strong period, an exclamation point on what you both just said. Does God damn anyone that could be saved?
No.
Absolutely not. The damning has already been done. Look to the cross and hear the echo that reverberates from Good Friday so long ago, when Jesus cries out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you can understand that message from the lips of Jesus, that were dried and crusted and broken and blistering, and when He cries to His Father, just look at me, Dad, just look at me, and God would not even look at His Son. And that's why He cries, dear Dad, dear Daddy, what have I done that you have to take this? And He was damned on that cross for you and for me and for every stinking sinner.
And that's the story. And that's what the go is about in the Great Commission.
That is correct.
Yeah, you got to go and tell that story, because there are people out there, you know, they're fooling themselves because they claim not to even believe in heaven. This is all there is. But you don't think that in the moments of their own anguish, they know, and they have no assurance, and they wish and hope that they did.
Well, I'll close this. I know we've been on the line longer than I normally am, but Stalin, you know, the great communist who destroyed Christianity, on his deathbed, there was fear stricken all over. And his daughter asked him, "Dad, why are you so afraid?" He says, "I don't know where I'm going to end up."
Yeah.
Even though he denied Christianity, he was so afraid of hell.
Death is the great equalizer.
That's right.
Thank you, Nabil.
Thank you, Nabil.
Thank you, dear brother. God's blessing.
You also bless your day. In a way, what we're talking about is the Canaanite woman and that discourse with Jesus about the dogs and the crumbs from the table. Not even a Canaanite would be denied.
Yeah, that's right. And her expression of faith is just so amazing. You know, you know, she doesn't say, "Wait a minute, I'm as good as any of these people. It's not fair." She says, "No, I might be just a dog, but even a dog gets the crumbs from the master's table. Give me the crumbs, Jesus."
Because if you read the Old Testament, you might get the impression that the Canaanites are not exactly God's chosen people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what they go, now deservedly so. You know, they chose other gods, but...
So did we.
That to me is just such a powerful moment when you consider that she's a Canaanite of all people. You know, a remarkable thing. As we talk about fairness, I guess really we should have brought one of the parables of Jesus into this for just a moment. It's the parable of the wages.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly what Jesus is talking about, isn't it? I'll pay what I want to whom I want, and it doesn't matter. You signed on for this. You get what's owed to you, and if you're signing on to earn your forgiveness, then you'll get what's owed to you. And otherwise, I will pay what I will pay.
Let's circle back to Pharaoh for a moment, since he's predominant right in the middle of today's text. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart before or after Pharaoh hardened his own heart?
That's a good question. I mean, in some sense, I don't think God hardens anybody's heart who's not willing to have it hardened. I mean, Pharaoh's heart was hard to begin with. And, you know, and so God just sort of hit. And kind of God does that to us as well. If we want to harden our heart, he doesn't force. That's the struggle I'm always running into in evangelism, is people's hearts are just so hard to God. I mean, I don't, and to the church, and you know, and the church has done a lot to encourage that hardening of heart, unfortunately. And when, you know, and they don't understand the whole concept of the visible and the invisible church, and they don't understand the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of man. They just have hard hearts, and unfortunately, you know, that God is fair enough in this perspective to say, I'm not forcing myself on you. I'm sending my church to you, and soften your heart. I mean, one of my prayers is always that God, by His Spirit, would soften their heart. And I think I think He does that. He's more in the business of softening hearts than hardening hearts.
But He loves you so much that if you want hell, He'll give it to
you. He'll give it to you. He'll give you what you want, if that's what you want.
So on Judgment Day, is anyone going to be able to accuse God of not being fair?
Yeah, no. You know, I got what I deserved, and
well, maybe the
sheep will.
I think that's what the sheep are saying. Why do we do this? This isn't fair. We didn't do any of these things.
And there's the other text, the teaching of Jesus, where he says, you know, the sheep will come to him and say, you know, when did I feed you? When did I? And rather than I did all these things and I deserve this, it's not. It is a huge pouring of grace, and not fairness that allows us to come into the presence of Christ and receive that forgiveness and that salvation and that promise of heaven. But He's fair to those who refuse to receive His grace, and that's a hard place to be.
Yeah, don't beg for God's justice.
Yeah,
you may just get it.
And one of my prayers is always patience, because I'm not a very patient man.
And you play golf?
Yeah, and then
I see where you get this.
People in the church always say, "Oh, don't pray for patience. He'll give you reasons to practice it."
Well, look, you got great. It's raining.
That's
all. Pastor Kevin Parbeet, excuse me.
Parbeet.
I will learn to speak English before the program is over. I promise.
They know who I am. Thank
Pastor
you, Roland.
Kevin Parbeet. Thank you. I need some more of this coffee that you brought me. Thank you again for that. Congratulations on being a grandpa yet again.
Yeah, thank you.
More opportunities for spoilage.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Yeah. Visit Congregation Kai V Shalom sometime. Visit them on the web if you can't make it to Dogtown.
Lifeandpeacecongregation.com. org.
And you might get one of these cool pens.
I might have said com. I'm not sure. Com or org.
Try them both. Yeah. Thank you, my friend. Faith and Family is next.
Shalom.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.